Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get ready and go to Hebrews 11. We're going to continue in that series today. And while you get ready and go there, I just want to talk a little bit about what we're doing with this series. What we're trying to do with this series is through the Word of God and through testimonies of what God has done, not just in the Bible, but just this week, an artery that was 75% blocked. Now they go back and the doctor says it's 0.1% blocked. Only the Lord could do that. They can't explain it. It's gone. God, but sometimes it takes some ridiculous faith. God told him to do communion. God told me that morning to do communion. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know if we had communion cups. I had to go back there in the hallway and look for them that morning. I remember that morning specifically. I'm like, God, I'll do it. But I don't even know if we got communion cups. What am I supposed to do? But they were back there. But sometimes God asks us to do some ridiculous things just to see if we trust him. Just to see if we'll obey and know that our confidence and our trust is in him. So through this series, what we're trying to do is bring revival, stir revival in our hearts, and strengthen our faith and our confidence in God, the one who can do those impossible things. Amen? And really, that's what we're going to talk about today as we talk about Sarah and Abraham. We're going to talk about how faith strengthens us and how faith brings new life. But before we talk about that, I want to do a little bit of a review of what we've said so far. And I've been doing this each and every week. I do a little bit of a review, and I do it purposely because I don't want what I'm saying each and every Sunday morning in here each week to go in one ear and out the other. But I want it to go to the depths of our heart and our soul and our mind and become a part of who we are and for us to retain what we're talking about together each week. And one of the best ways to retain what we're talking about is through repetition, right? And so that's the whole point of my brief reviews at the beginning of each sermon each week when they come in some form or fashion. So one of the first things we said in this series is that we want to be more like the people that are described in Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to be more like them because in the Word of God here, these people are described as people of having faith. Right? Maybe even what the world would call and the devil and the enemy would beat us down for having ridiculous faith, right? These were people who were radically free from the love of this world. They were radically free from the things that are in this world and everything that this world considers successful. And they were free from that bondage because they had their eyes on the prize, is what it tells us, right? Hebrews 10:34 says they knew they had a better possession and an enduring one. So they believed, these people believed with all their hearts in the promises of God. So their confidence was not in themselves. Their confidence was not in any other person or any other thing, but their confidence was solely in God himself, okay? And so this is what we know. We know that faith is a now faith, right? Hebrews 11:1 starts out and says, now faith is. Now faith is. It's a faith that we need each and every day. Now faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That faith must first come to God, believing that God is. And so faith says, God, you are God, and besides you, there is no other. Then secondly, faith says, not only are you God, but you're good. You're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. And so then we go through our first four examples that we've had, okay? In Abel, we see that faith does things God's way, that it comes to God and says, God, I trust you for my salvation. I trust you for my provision. I trust you for my righteousness. Then in Enoch, we see that faith walks, right? Faith's not just a verbal proclamation, but it is something that we walk out day by day, every day, right? 2 weeks ago, we looked at the threefold message in Noah, the ark, and the great flood, and we saw through that faith works, right? It works in the long run as we put our faith in Christ and for eternity, but sometimes it also requires us to do something, to work, right? So in essence, faith raises the bar. That's our word for the year, raise the bar. Believe, act, receive. Everybody say this, raise the bar. Believe, act, receive. All right, that's what we're doing this year, okay? And moving forward every year the rest of our lives, we're raising the bar. So then last week, we saw through Abraham that faith obeys and faith moves. God came to Abraham and he said, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your father's house. I want to, even all the roots that you've dug deep where you're at in Haran, I want you to leave all that and I want you to start walking because I'm going to give you a land that I have for you, a promised land, right? I know you don't know where you are going and I know you don't know where to go, but if you'll just trust me and obey and start moving, I'll give it to you. And really, amazingly, that is what he did. Abraham had some ridiculous faith. He started going not knowing where he went. This is what Hebrews 11:8 says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He went out not knowing where he was going. He just trust and obeyed God. So through and by faith, Abraham obeyed, and Abraham moved. Now, that brings us to our text for today. So if you're at Hebrews 11, whether you're on your phone or with your physical Bible, we'll put it up on the screen. Follow along, read with me. Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. I got a lot of scripture today. I got a lot of scripture, so y'all stay with me. We're going to be in the book of Genesis quite a bit as well. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, that's Abraham, and him as good as dead because he was so old, were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All right. So now, last week we talked a good bit about Abraham. This week we're going to talk about Sarah. Sarah is mentioned, and Sarah is the wife of Abraham. Abraham is who we call. He's called the father of many nations, but he's called the father of faith, right? And naturally, if we call Abraham the father of faith, why not call his wife the mother of faith? And really, those are some really big shoes to fill when you get that title, the father and mother of faith. And so I think when we think about Abraham and Sarah, we sometimes probably think of them as the perfect believers, right? They're the perfect believers. They're the father and mother of faith. Like they just always believed no matter what, that they never failed, that they never faltered or wavered in their faith. But when you really go and read their story and their account in Scripture, you can see that that's not just the case. They were not perfect believers, right? Okay? Two Wednesday nights ago, as we were closing out the service, something that was said is that God is not looking for our ability, but our availability. And I want to add to that this morning, something else we could say is God is not looking for perfection from us, but he is looking for our affection towards him. It's like Chris was saying, he wants a relationship with us. So he's not looking for perfection. We should strive to do everything right. But what he's looking for is our affection for him. Because when we have affection towards someone, we're going to do things that please them, right? And so with those two things, our availability to God and our affection for him, he can do all he wants to in us, for us, and through us, right? When we give him those two things. I believe that Abraham and Sarah made themselves available, and they loved the Lord. They had affection for him, and so God did some really miraculous things through them, okay? But there were seasons for them where they were waiting. There were times of trials for Abraham and Sarah. There were battles that they had to fight mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. There were times that they did not understand what was happening and why they were going through what they were going through. These were times that Abraham and Sarah actually struggled with. The mother and father of faith, right? But in those times, God was patient. God was kind. God was loving towards them. And he would remind them that his words are true. His words are true. So last week we talked about how God told Abraham to pack up, move out, and he did. And guess what? His wife Sarah went right along with him. Genesis 12:4 says, Abraham was 75 years old when he packed up, he departed from Haran, and he took a 350-mile journey to the land of Canaan, okay? Right? So I want to remind you, they didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles, right? They mostly walked, or they rode on the back of camels and donkeys, right? So it wasn't some luxurious trip they were taking. But Abraham and Sarah and all those that were in their company made this journey. And really, in that journey, there's a lot that happens. It's about a year span before they get settled in Canaan, okay? You can read all about the lives of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis, all the way from chapter 12 all the way to 25, chapter 25. But today, we're going to focus on the promise from God for them to have an heir, for them to have a child, a son, okay? Now, there is a 10-year, I want you to know this, there's a 10-year age gap. There's a 10-year age difference between Abraham and Sarah, okay? And I'll show you how I'll know that in just a little bit in Genesis 17. It kind of lets us know that. But I just want you to know up front, there's a 10-year difference between the two of them, okay? So when they first set out on this journey, the Bible tells us that Abraham was 75, so that would make Sarah... Oh, y'all did good with math. Good job, okay? So Abraham's 75, Sarah 65. They're setting out on this journey. It's a year's journey before they're actually settled in Canaan. And at this time, they have no children. Sarah was considered and called barren, right? But after they came and settled in the land of Canaan, the Lord says this to Abraham. This is Genesis 14, verses 14 through 16. And the Lord said to Abram, so this was before he changed, God, we'll see this by the end, that God changes Abram to Abraham and Sarah to Sarah, okay? We'll talk about that. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had departed from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants, the King James Version says, to you and your seed, right? And I will make your descendants or your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. So this is a really, really great promise that God has given to Abraham and Sarah right here. They're already older, 75 and 65. But God says, look, there's still strength in you and there's still life in you that I'm going to bring forth at an appointed time, right? There's going to be a time I'm going to bring forth life. You're going to have an heir, okay? Then just a little bit further in Scripture, one chapter later in Genesis 15, the Lord reminds Abraham of this promise again. Just to let him know, hey, I've not forgotten my promise to you. I've given you this promise. You will have an heir. And through your heir will be the descendants that you can't even number. There'll be so many. Now we know that Abraham, from Abraham and Sarah came all the Jewish people, okay? So here's that reminder, Genesis 15, 1 through 6. The Lord appears to Abraham again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. So Abraham right here is like, God, I hear what you're saying. I've heard your promise, and I know what you told me. But I'm 75 years old, 76 now because it took a year journey. I'm 76 years old, and I don't have an heir. I don't have a son of my own. All I got is Eliezer. He has become my best friend, and he's the one I'm going to leave my stuff to when I'm gone because I don't have an heir. I don't have any offspring of my own. I don't have that. So what are you talking about? The Lord says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This is verse 4. The word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. Saying, no, Eliezer is not going to be your heir. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. God said it, so Abraham believed it, right? I mean, Abraham had no reason not to believe God at his word. God had told him, hey, pack up your stuff, move to a land you don't know, go to a place you don't know where you're going. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you that land. And God had done just that, right? He had multiplied everything Abraham had. Abraham became very wealthy in that one-year journey from Egypt. He came out of Egypt very wealthy, right? And God had multiplied everything that Abraham had, and now he was living in that land that God had promised him. He's in Canaan. So why not believe him? Why not believe now? He had been faithful. Why would he not continue to be faithful? Amen? And so I'm sure Abraham went to Sarah after he got this news from the Lord, and he told her excitedly, guess what, Sarah? I know we're old. We're 75 and 65 or 76 and 66, but the Lord says we're getting ready to have a baby, praise God. We're about to do it. We're going to have a child. God says, now I'm going to have an heir from my own seed, my own body. We're going to have a baby, Sarah. You're my wife. That means me and you are having a baby because the Lord said it. I'm sure they both were excited. They both were very expectant. God had delivered the land into their hands. Why would he not deliver the child into their hands, even in their old age? Sure, they were older. But if he gave us this land and all that we have, why couldn't he give us this? Amen? Amen. But then there was a period of waiting. It was a period of waiting. Here's the first point I want to give you today. When we are appointed to wait, we can be tempted to waver. When we are appointed to wait, we can be tempted to waver. Listen, after receiving the word from the Lord, believing that word from the Lord, there was rejoicing. Oh, we're going to have a baby. It's going to be good. Praise God. Let me get a little... Yeah, anybody ever felt that? You get the word from the Lord? Yeah. You ever felt that? You got that word? Oh, I received that word, right? But after that word came and having to have to wait for that word, after having to wait for that promise, what can start to happen is there can creep in feelings of doubt. There can start to creep in feelings of worry, even feelings of rejection, like the Lord has rejected that promise for me, right? Right? For Abraham and Sarah, after about 1 year of waiting, there may have still been some hope and excitement, right? Maybe even after years 2 and 3. He said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Then you get to year 5 or 6. Well, maybe it's going to happen. I mean, I'm 70, 71 now. It's going to be hard to carry a child for 9 months, much less deliver one at that age. But I guess it is possible. But then by the time 10 years had passed, 10 years, they're in Canaan. They've been settled in the land God had promised them for 10 years. Sarah was now 76, and she had all but given up. I'll show you. Her belief went from, praise the Lord, I'm having a baby, to maybe it will happen, to I'm doubtful this is going to happen, to it ain't happening. It ain't happening. So 10 years have passed. Here's what Sarah says to Abraham now. Genesis 16, 1 through 3. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Now I want you to notice what she said. The Lord actually had said the opposite of that, right? The Lord said, I'm going to enable you guys to have children even in your old age. I'm going to make that happen. But in her waiting, the enemy has convinced her to believe this lie that the Lord has restrained her from having children, right? So she says to Abram, please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded to the voice of Sarah. Boy, there's a lot of this in the Bible, man. We got to listen. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Women, don't get mad at me. Amanda's guided me right a lot of times. But she has also guided me wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years, is how I know it's been 10 years. They dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Okay? I want y'all to catch this. Abraham and Sarah both went from believing and trusting in the promise of God to trusting in the work of their own hands, the work of the flesh. Listen, trusting in the timing and the works of God's hand is called faith. Okay? Hurrying the assignment and manufacturing a promise outside of what he has already said, that's called works of the flesh still. Okay? I hope we have learned and know from the story of Cain and Abel, right, that it is faith that pleases God, and it's the works of the flesh that leaves sin lying at the door. When we wait, we are tempted to manufacture what we are waiting for and what we are wanting. But I'm going to tell you something. Doing that will never lead us to the fullness of the promise. You may get glimpses of the promise through that, but the fullness of the promise can only come through God's way and God's timing. God's timing. The promise was, I will give you a seed, your own seed from your own body, which means it would be with his own wife. But in their waiting, Sarah first, then Abraham, wavered on that promise. They didn't completely reject it, but they wavered on it. They still said, hey, we can have an heir. We can still have a son, just through another means. Maybe the Lord didn't mean it was me that was to bear you the son. I'm barren. Why would he say that anyway? He's actually restrained me from having children. This is how the enemy works, right? So, Abram, why don't you take Hagar, my maid, lie with her, and we can have a son through her. She can be our surrogate, okay? Instead of Sarah continuing to believe, she wavered as she waited. Instead of Abraham continuing to believe, he wavered as he waited. I want to remind someone this morning who may be waiting on a promise from God. I don't know what that promise is. You're tempted, right, to believe that the time for that promise has passed. It's passed. It's long gone. You're too old. Or maybe the promise is too old. But I want to encourage you while you wait this morning. I don't care if you've been waiting 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Do not waver while you wait, but continue to trust and believe in the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Yeah, it is good preaching, but I ain't getting the response it should. Now, what happened after this? Let's just read it. Genesis 16, 4 and 5. So he, Abraham, he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. In other words, Hagar had a lot of anger, bitterness, and contempt towards Sarah because she orchestrated this. And now, because of what's happened, Sarah has contempt, anger, and bitterness towards Hagar. So you can see it's a really bad situation, right? Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maiden to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. Sarah is starting to see the disaster of trying to speed up or take the promises of God into her own hands. The works of the flesh, instead of being led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it always creates more problems than it does good. Even when it's done with the best of intentions. Even when it's done with the best of intentions. God's promise to Abraham was still true, but the timing of that promise had not yet come to fruition. Okay? Impatience for the promise actually caused division and strife. Abraham and Sarah messed up. Let's just be real. They messed up. They messed up big time. And then now, here's Hagar and her son that are caught right in the middle of it all. But here's my second point. Even in our mess-ups, God is still merciful. Even in our mess-ups, God is still merciful. Genesis 16, 6 and 7. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. Verse 8. And he said, the angel of the Lord said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? I got a feeling that whoever wrote Cotton Eye Joe's got a copyright infringement. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Hagar, oh. Just saying. It was there first. She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah. So now we have Hagar and Sarah who have had a blow up, right? It doesn't tell us what Sarah did, but obviously Sarah was not nice. Sarah was acting out of emotion, and whatever she did and whatever she said was mean, and it caused Hagar to run off. And Hagar is now here in the wilderness. She's alone, away from everyone else. And it says, in that moment in her life where everything seemed to be messed up, everything seemed to be falling apart and screwed up, the angel of the Lord found her, went and found her. That means he went to get her. That's why Jesus said, I'll leave the 99 and go for the one. It says he went and found her there in that place in the middle of the mess. Whether she caused it or somebody else caused it, the Lord came and found her, and he was merciful to her. Right? One of my favorite scriptures is Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. I just want to read it to you. It says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because what? He delights. He loves showing mercy. He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the very depths of the sea. You know, we've never found the very bottom of the ocean. Guess what? When you give your sins and your iniquities to him, you'll never find it again if you choose not to. He is a God who delights in mercy. The Lord met Hagar right where she was in the middle of her mess, in the middle of all that mess, and he showed her great grace and mercy. This is what he said to her. Genesis 16, starting with verse 9. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. You know what Ishmael means? It means God hears. God hears. You will call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man. There's a lot I could go into right here, but for time's sake, I'm not going to. And every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. El Roi. Okay? For she said, I have also here seen him who sees me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Laha Rohi, which means, that actually means the well of the living, seeing God. Observe it. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore him, Ishmael. And Abram, here we go, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. El Rohi. That's what Hagar called the angel of the Lord in this moment. And it means the God who sees. The God who sees. Something else I just want to remind you of this morning, that he is still El Roi. He is still the God who sees, and he sees you right where you're at this morning, in the middle of your mess ups, in the middle of your mishaps, in the middle of your mess. He still sees you, and he's still loving you. He's still searching for you, and he wants to be kind, and he wants to be merciful to you. Will you just take the time to listen and to talk with him? And allow him, with no guilt, with no shame, just to meet you right where you are. He is El Roi, the God who sees. Here's my last point. Getting ready to find the caboose. My last point is this. God's words are true regardless of our timing or understanding. So trust Him. I want to say it one more time. God's words are true regardless of our timing or understanding. So we got to trust Him. There's a lot that I could say and I want to say, but I think actually just reading a lot of what the Word of God says will paint the perfect picture. It says everything in the Word of God says what I want to say, but it says it better because it's the Word of God. Amen? So in Genesis chapter 17, let me give you a brief synopsis, okay? God, in chapter 17, God appears to Abraham again, and we're going to read what He says to him this time. So take into account that Abraham, at this point, what we're getting ready to read, at this point when God's talking to him, Abraham's 99 years old now, okay? It's been another 13 years. He's 99 years old, and he meets with God, and here He talks with Him. God has told Abraham earlier in this conversation we're about to read that no longer will he be called Abram, but he will be, which Abram means exalted father, but He said, I'm changing your name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And we're going to read it. He's going to change Sarah's name to Sarah. Sarah meant my princess. Sarah means simply princess. So the Lord was saying to Abraham, no longer will she just be your princess, but she will be the princess. She will be the mother of many nations. That's what He's saying when He changed her name. Okay, Genesis 17, 15 through 22. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. This is 26 or 23 years after the original promise. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? He's 99 right here, but at the time a child would come, he'd be 100. Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? This is how I know there's a 10-year age gap. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I think this just shows God's sense of humor, right? Isaac means laughter. He said, you laugh, we'll call him laughter, okay? I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with the descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. He's a God who hears. He's a God who sees. He's a God who hears. I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year. Set time. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So God reminds Abraham of his promise yet again, right? Even through their mess-ups and mishaps. You will have a son from your seed, and it will be from your wife Sarah. Abraham laughed and said, shall a child be born to him who's 100 years old? Right? So 13 years, Ishmael's 13 years old by now. This means they've had this promise of God for 23 years. They've been waiting on this promise, 23 years. But Abraham hears the Lord say this now, and he laughs. But I honestly don't believe at this moment that laughter was a laughter of disbelief for Abraham. I believe Abraham's laughter was a laughter of joy, and I want to explain why. Because I think he was overcome with joy because he once again believed God at his word. He's like, God, if you're going to come to me right now, I'm 99 years old, you're going to tell me this again, you mean business. And I think Abraham thought it was truly funny that God was going to do this and him and Sarah being so old, because he knew they were old and it would only happen if God did it, right? This is how I know that it was a laughter of it's going to happen, because Romans 4, 16 through 22 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, talking about Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. He believed in it. so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. What was spoken to him when he was 99 years old. Right? What was spoken to him. And not being weak. Contrary to hope, believing in hope, so that he became father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. That's why I know it's talking about this conversation, right? And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened at this moment at 99 years old. God says, I'm still going to do it, Abraham. And it says he was strengthened in the faith. And he began giving glory to God and being fully convinced, he believed it, that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham, even though 23 years had passed, and although he was 99 years old and Sarah 90, he believed God that he could and would do it. So Abraham at 99, even though the Lord told him something that the rest of the world might think was ridiculous, he believed God at his word, and because he believed it, he was strengthened. He was strengthened. He was fully convinced that God was able to perform what he just promised him, okay? But we still got Sarah to go. Amanda, you can come. We got Sarah to go because she's struggling, right? She went through it. She's had a big mistake. Here's Genesis 18, 1 through 4. Then the Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre. And as he was sitting in the tent of the door of the heat of the day, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. This is the Lord with two angels that has appeared to Abraham. And this is what he says. I'm going to read what he says, but I want to tell you, this is the main reason I believe he came. There was a multi-leveled reason. But I believe the main reason he came is to strengthen Sarah's faith. To strengthen Sarah's faith so her faith would strengthen her to conceive and bring forth new life. And I'll tell you why he came for Sarah. Genesis 18, starting with verse 9. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? I want to know. Where's she at? So he said, She's here in the tent. The Lord himself wanted to know and make sure that Sarah herself heard him say this. Not that it was just a relayed message from Abraham again, but I want her to hear me say it. Okay? And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. 9 months, right? And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. Catch that. Within herself. Not out loud. She laughed within herself, saying, After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? We'll just leave that there. Okay? Earlier Abraham laughed out of joy because he believed what God was saying. And now Sarah actually laughs out of unbelief. And we know that it's out of unbelief because the Lord actually questions her on it. She tries to deny it, right? But the Lord does not do this to make her feel bad. He reveals this to her to show Sarah the unbelief that was in her own heart. He's just showing the unbelief that was in her own heart. Verse 13, And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything, I want you to ask you yourself this question this morning, your situation, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life. There was the time of life, the 9 months, but there was an appointed time that she would give birth from the very first time 26 years ago. That promise was given. There was an appointed time. At the appointed time, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid, And he said, no, but you did laugh. Yeah, you did. I really just love that. Because it says she laughed within herself, but the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. When she tried to deny it because she knew she didn't laugh out loud, but on the inside, the Lord gently kind of rebuked her and let her know, hey, it may have not been on the outside, but I heard you laugh on the inside, and I still heard it. He is a God who hears, and He is a God who sees all, especially that which is on the inside, right? The Word says that God says, look, man looks on the outward, but I look at what's on the inside. I look at the heart of men. And He hears and He sees what's on the inside. And that's what matters most, because what's on the inside comes out of here. Okay? But I believe the Lord revealed that to her, because in that, to show her unbelief and to help to strengthen her to believe again. In that moment, Sarah begins to believe again. And I know that because Hebrews 11:11, which we started with, says this. By faith, she believed again. Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful. She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. I just want to read the account, Genesis 21:1-3. And the Lord visited Sarah, and He said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Laughter. I can't imagine the laughter that took place the moment that Isaac was born. Can you believe this? 109. Well, I'm 100. You're 90. We just had a baby boy. There would be tears of joy, and there would be laughter, tears of from laughter. Right? Isaac and laughter was a constant reminder of the promises of God to them. Isaac and laughter were a reminder to Abraham and Sarah of their belief and their unbelief, their mishaps, but God's grace and mercy. And because of their belief in Him who promised, because they trusted Him to be faithful, they were strengthened. Their faith personally was strengthened, and they were able to bring forth new life. Why? For future generations. The whole time, God had been saying, I'm going to give you descendants that you can't number. What is He talking about? He's talking about future generations. For future generations. Listen, God may give you some promises you've been waiting on for a long time. And we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. But sometimes those promises, He's wanting you to live by faith. It's for future generations. You may not always see the complete fruition of those promises. Some are for here, some are for later, right? You may not see the complete fruition of those promises, but you got to believe. Why? For future generations. The vision of this church is on that back wall. To reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through outreaches of giving, lifestyles of love, to pursue the next great awakening for what? Future generations. Future generations depend on you and your faith today. It depends on your faith today. When God brought the Israelites later on in the Israelite story, He brought them through so many things. Through Egypt, and He parted the Red Sea. We talked about, Chris mentioned that. And all these things. He parted the Jordan River, and He always told them to make monuments. And then He said, I want you to tell your kids and your grandkids and their great-grandkids, tell them of the things you know. Tell them of what faith in God can do, what you've seen God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything? Tell your kids about the impossible things You've seen me do. Tell your kids and your grandkids that there was a medical diagnosis, that there was an artery in her neck that was blocked almost 80%, and there was nothing they could do, but then they go back and that blockage is gone and they can't explain it. Tell your kids and your grandkids about that. Tell your kids and your grandkids how He heals, how He sets free, how He delivers. It's for future generations. There's something greater. From these people came the Messiah. From these people, the Jewish people, came Jesus, the Savior of the world. It's for future generations, and the promise is greater than you can ever see. It's greater than you can understand, so don't get caught up in waiting and dismiss the promise. Don't get caught up in waiting and try to produce it with your own hands. But wait upon the Lord and trust Him, because He who promised is faithful to perform it. Everybody stand to your feet. What kind of season are you in? What kind of season are you in? Are you in a waiting season? Have you been waiting for a long time or a short time? It doesn't matter. Just be encouraged that the promise is for a set time. It's for an appointed time. Even if you're waiting, when you're tempted to waver, I encourage you, believe again. Believe again. They wavered, but it did not. Listen, even in their wavering, God was gracious and merciful. It did not just cancel the promise. But He returned and He visited them and He said, believe again. My words are still true. Do you have the faith to believe it? Do you have the confidence in me to know that nothing is too hard for me to do? Believe again. Believe again. If you're tempted to waver, believe again. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you feel like you're in the wilderness. You feel all alone. You feel isolated, apart from everyone else. You're going through tough times, difficult times. Maybe you've messed up and you need mercy. Maybe other people have messed up and it's caused you all kind of strife. You're caught in the middle of it. And you need that mercy. You need that grace. Take time. Come and talk with Him today. He's a God who sees you right there in the middle of that mess. He's a God who hears you and hears your prayers. Your prayers do not fall on deaf ears. Maybe you need to have your faith renewed and restrained. Maybe you need new life again for future generations. Only the Lord Himself can do that for you. Would you meet with Him? If you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You that Your words are true. I thank You, You've never failed and You won't start now. But You are faithful. The one who promises is faithful. And I thank You that all Your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And God, there are people here who are weary, who are weak, who are tired, who've been waiting on a word from the Lord, God, for maybe weeks, maybe years, maybe extended years. I don't know, God, but we all have promises here in Your word, but we all have personal promises You've given us. And I pray, God, that You would re-strengthen people's faith and their confidence in You again to know that nothing is impossible for You to do. That waiting time is not wasted time, but there is an appointed time, and I pray that we would trust that, that we would trust in the Lord with all our heart, that we would not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways we would acknowledge You and You would direct our path. I pray, God, that You would strengthen and encourage and meet people here this morning in Jesus' mighty name. They're getting ready to sing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. If the word spoke to you in any form or fashion and you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, come meet with Him. He is a God who sees. He's a God who hears. Come talk with Him. Come meet with Him. Let Him strengthen you and your faith today. As they sing, would you come? Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.